Let's continue reading verses 12 through 21 of Romans chapter 5. In this second half of Romans 5, we learn that we are not only sinners because we sin, but we sin because we are sinners by nature. And that sinful nature goes all the way back to Adam. We also learn that what we lost in Adam, we regain in Christ. In fact, in Christ, we gain much more than we lost. Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Once again, let's begin with some background notes. In the first three chapters of Romans, we learn that all the world is guilty before God. Everyone is a sinner and falls short of God's standards. But the good news is that God has provided a way of salvation. At the end of Romans chapter 3, we see that God's way of salvation is through faith, not through works, but through faith alone. We see that God's plan of salvation is possible because God paid for the plan himself. When Jesus died on the cross, the penalty of our sins was paid for in full so that we could receive the gift of salvation. In Romans 4, we saw that God's way of salvation by grace through faith alone, that has been God's way of salvation throughout human history. As we've seen, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And the same is true for us. If we really believe God, that means we believe and act on what God has said, then God reckons it to us as righteousness. This is saving faith, and we are justified. That is declared righteous. Saving faith is simply to take God at his word and believe with your head and your heart what God has said. Today, of course, that means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because God has spoken in the person of his Son. Now, in the first half of Romans 5, we have some of the great blessings and benefits of salvation. Notice how chapter 5 begins, therefore, having been justified by faith, and now follows some of the great blessings and benefits in God's package of salvation for us. When you get to Romans chapters 6 through 8, we see that these chapters talk a lot about our sanctification. That is the process by which we become more holy in this life. So the second half of Romans 5 is like a bridge between justification and sanctification. Here in verses 12 through 21 of Romans 5, we have a transition from the subject of justification, that is being declared righteous as to our spiritual position, to our sanctification, that is our becoming more righteous in our daily practice. Well, more we could say there. We need to move on now to our doctrinal teaching points. So doctrinal point number one, in Adam, we lost everything. In Adam, we lost everything. The Bible not only teaches that we are sinners because we sin, but we sin because we are sinners by nature. When did we become sinners by nature? When Adam sinned. Verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. And verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Adam and Eve did not have sinful natures before they disobeyed God. But after that original sin, they possessed sinful natures, and everyone born since that time, with the exception of our Lord himself, has been born with a sinful nature. That is an innate tendency to sin. You know, at our Bible study just this past Friday night, we had two newborn babies there with their proud parents. These babies were both less than a month old, and they looked so innocent. How could they be sinners? Well, it's just a matter of time, folks, before the sinful nature of those babies begins to work itself out. I heard a preacher once say that little babies were only little vipers in diapers. Well, I don't think I'd put it that way. But the Bible certainly teaches that we are born with a sinful nature, and it manifests itself very early. You never have to tell a child, won't you please go out today and be bad for a change? You never have to say that. It's always, would you be good for a change? It's because of the sinful nature. As a result of Adam's sin, we lost everything. Death, the penalty of sin, spread to all mankind. Look at the end of verse 12. And thus death spread to all men, because all sin. That gets a little heavy right here in these verses 13 and 14, but see if you can follow this. Even though God's laws defining sin had not been given yet, and there can't be transgression of a law if there is no law, yet we know that sin was in the world because everyone died, and death is the penalty of sin. That's the point of Romans 5, 13, and 14. Let me read those verses again. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. So death was present even though there was no law, and people were not breaking direct commandments of God as Adam did, verse 14. Now, how is all this to be explained? That death reigned even though sin was not yet defined by the law. Answer, Adam was our representative. When he sinned, we were made sinners. Illustration, suppose the leader of a country wrongly leads that nation into war with an innocent neighboring country. Now all the citizens are represented in that leader and therefore associated with that wrong decision, whether they like it or not, and all participate in the bad fallout. Another illustration. In one of those old-time extended family feuds, it didn't matter who fired the first shot. All family members were represented, even those born in later generations. All illustrations fall short in some way, but that may be helpful. So whether we like it or not, Adam, as head of the human race, is our representative, and his sin has affected all of us. In Adam, we were made sinners. In Adam, we lost everything. But now comes the good news. Doctrinal point number two. In Christ, we gain everything. In Christ, we gain everything. At the end of verse 14, we see that Adam is a type of him who was to come, namely Christ. That same truth is brought out in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. As Adam is the head and representative of the human race, so Christ is the head and representative of a new race. And all believers are brought into that new race with Christ as our head. Now look at all that we gain in Christ in contrast to what we lost in Adam. Verse 15, because of Adam's sin, many died. Because of Christ's grace, many have received the free gift of salvation. Verse 16, because of Adam, there was judgment. Because of Christ, there is justification. Verse 17, because of Adam, death reigned. Because of Christ, believers reign in life now and will reign with Christ in his kingdom. Verse 18, because of Adam's original sin, there was condemnation for all mankind. Because of Christ's one act of righteousness, justification is offered to all mankind. Now, there's no idea in these verses here of universal salvation. Universal condemnation, yes, but not universal salvation. Salvation is offered to all, and it's available to all, but it's only for those who believe. Verse 19, because of Adam's disobedience, many, that is all mankind, were constituted sinners. Because of Christ's obedience, many, that is all who believe, are constituted righteous. And now let's read verses 20 and 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When the law was given to show how sinful man really was, in Christ, grace abounded even more. So that now sin does not reign in death, but rather grace reigns through righteousness. How does grace reign through righteousness? It brings eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in Adam, we lost everything. But in Christ, we regain everything we lost and much more. In Christ, we gain everything. And now practical application. Remember, there are no appellate courts in the hereafter. There are no appellate courts in the hereafter. You know what an appellate court is, right? Appellate courts are where legal decisions are appealed. Well, there are no appellate courts in the hereafter. Remember that. There are no appellate courts in the hereafter. What God has decided and declared is final. At the final judgment, no unbeliever will be able to say, but wait a minute, God, I think it's unfair that I inherited a sinful nature because of Adam's sin. I don't like this idea that Adam is my representative. I appeal this decision. I'm so sorry. There are no appellate courts in the hereafter. It's in this lifetime that you have your chance to receive forgiveness of sins. God calls the shots, whether people like it or not. And by the way, Revelation 20 clearly shows that unbelievers will not be judged for their sin natures, which they inherited from Adam, and for which they were not directly responsible. They will be judged for their works, for which they are directly responsible. What more could a person want than what we see here in Romans 5? What God has provided in Christ. What overwhelming grace. Is there any unbeliever here this morning? Why delay? Remember, there are no appellate courts in the hereafter.